You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hello, everyone. This is MLB.com Extras, Cleveland Indians edition, special edition of MLB.com Extras. We got Jordan Bastian, as we do every week. We got Andre Knapp.
Yeah.
Fox Sports Ohio joining us here. We are in the dugout at Progressive Field.
Are we going to rub his head before we do this? It seems to be.
No, you guys are already winning. You don't need me.
We got a lot of fight in us here on this dugout, but there's some question right now about the Tribes fight. Jason Kipnis had some pointed remarks to that end. He said they're playing poorly. I think that's how we phrased it on the site. We didn't use the word he used. He used a stronger word. JB, I'll start with you. What did you think of those remarks? And when you get swept by the White Sox in a four-game series, it's pretty natural for some frustration to seep out.
Yeah, I thought he didn't say anything that maybe the fan base wasn't already thinking. You know, we've had a few situations this season where that's happened, whether it's Trevor Bauer earlier in the year, Kipnis last night, you know, even Francona when we were in Tampa Bay talked about the team meeting he held there. You know, obviously there's been a few stretches where, you know, it looked like this team was going to get rolling, and then it's taken a step backwards, you know, and they're trying right now, you know, as the trade deadline approaching and getting down to the last 2 months, you know, they really need to kick it in gear. I think they're only 6.5 out of the second wild card, so while that's, you know, not inconceivable, you know, they got to get things going here if they want to be the team that they were supposed to be. And I think that was kind of the message from what I understand last night was, you know, can they all look in the mirror right now and say this is the team they want to be? And obviously the answer is no. So maybe they got to do a little bit better policing in the clubhouse, holding guys accountable. Maybe Tito has got to do a better job of also holding these guys accountable. And I think that was the overwhelming message. And I think Kipnis in his remarks kind of made that pretty apparent.
Trey, you've got a kind of a special vantage point. You travel with this club. You really are immersed in their day-to-day. And obviously this season has not unfolded the way a lot of people expected, and certainly not the way the Indians wanted. But what's your perception of that fire and that energy they were talking about?
I think Jordan hits on a lot of great points. I think the one thing that stands out to me is that you have a talented team, but it's very young. And I think leadership from a player perspective, it's difficult right now because you kind of look around that clubhouse and you go, okay, Michael Bourne's played for a long time, but he struggled this season, let's be honest. Hard to lead when you're trying to get yourself back to normal. Nick Swisher, a guy I think that a lot of people thought of as a leader, has been in and out because he's been dealing with injuries. And you have a guy in Jason Kipnis who is building himself and growing into that leadership, but at the same time, kind of finding himself still as a player after going through what he went through last year. So I think you have a locker room, you know, full of guys that want to lead. And then you have a pitching staff, and I'll mention this too. There are a lot of talented guys, but they're all very young. And you're going to have ups and downs, and I think confidence plays a huge role in this. And I think what piqued a little interest this past weekend is nothing against the White Sox, but this team played very well against the White Sox throughout the season. And you look at all the numbers of the White Sox, and it pointed towards, hey, we should have this is a team that we can play well against. And the White Sox got confidence, start playing really well. It snowballed. And I think on the other side of the clubhouse, they're going, wait a minute, that's what we're supposed to be doing to them. You know, like, they're the team that had scored less runs than we had scored. They're the team that's struggling and was in the basement. And I think that opened a lot of eyes to guys of, hey, we've got to play different. And I think and this isn't taking anything away from the White Sox, because I think the key word to all of this is confidence. They played with confidence over the weekend at Progressive Field, and the Indians, for whatever reason, it was hard to play with confidence. And I know that Saturday night game where you give up 5 runs against Carlos Carrasco in the first inning, and you don't have Kipnis in, and Sales on the mound. And one thing Kipnis said that stood out to me that a lot of people didn't run with, he said 2 years ago when we got down against a guy like Chris Sale, it was like, hey, let's make this hard on him. He may beat us, but let's make it hard on him. And he goes, he felt like we didn't do that the other night. And I think that's where a lot of this meeting came from. And I'll go back to it, and Jordan knows this better than I. Mr. Giambi played a huge role on this team that we never put in the box score. And I just haven't seen anyone fill that role yet. And I think that's the hump that they have to get over, in my opinion.
Yeah, I'd have to go. I mean, I don't have the numbers in front of me, but there has been that feel with this club this year. It seems like you can count on one hand the number of games that they legitimately mounted a comeback, you know, in late in the game. They just don't have that. They haven't had that fight much this year. And let's face it, guys, this is a bad time to play bad, you know, because there are some big decisions being made off of, not off a small sample by any means, but, you know, if you're trending a certain way, this time of year, it can really force a general manager's hand. And Chris Antonetti, we know he's, like every general manager, he's having active discussions with other clubs. We've seen some reports out there, not just about a short-term asset like a David Murphy or a Brandon Moss or a Ryan Rayburn, but we've even seen Carlos Carrasco's name out there, which would be a pretty dramatic statement, maybe not so much about this season, but just, you know, if they were to entertain his value at this point, that would catch a lot of people off guard, I think. But JB, what are your thoughts on Cookie Carrasco's, I guess, and not just him, but this young starting group in general, if they were to deal from that strength to address something, obviously it would be a long-term move.
Yeah, I think on the surface, you'd make a move like that with one of those starting pitchers, and I think the fans immediately take it as, well, this season's over. But I think right now everyone's looking for starting pitching. And when you have a guy like Carrasco at his age and his ability locked in for as long as he is at the very team-friendly price that he is, I think it's just due diligence on the Indians' part to take that phone call and see if there's a team that's willing to, you know, really go all in and oversell to the point where it's like, well, we really can't pass this up, especially when we have the foundation with the other starters that they do have. So I think, while I don't expect that trade to come to fruition, and I believe the report with the Blue Jays was that it fell apart, and now that the Indians have indicated that they're not willing to trade Carrasco, obviously anything can happen, but I would be stunned. I think what you're more likely to see are some of those guys who maybe aren't a part of the long-term future, guys like David Murphy, Ryan Rayburn, guys who could be role players on other teams. You know, those would be the guys that the Indians would look to shop. Because if they're not going to be part of the future, you know, maybe you can see if you can get something in return for them right now.
You know, Jordan hit on something. You're not doing your due diligence as a general manager if you don't take the phone calls to find out. What if a Toronto was willing to give up their whole farm system for a guy like Carrasco, for a guy like Salazar? I'm not saying you do it, because I think the one thing I'll give the Indians credit for is that they've said, we're going to build ourselves on pitching. And they've built a pretty young nucleus of pitchers that you could say for the, you know, for the next 3-4 years, they should be able to depend upon them, you know, barring injury or anything else. But at the same time, don't you have to find out the worth of what, the guys that you have? I think in anything in life, you have to find out your worth. And I think that's really what was being done. I think Jordan's completely right. Some parts and pieces maybe move, maybe not even on July 31st, maybe a month from now when we see that happen. I think that's, and you mentioned this, Anthony, I think you're right. It's just the time of the year. Like if this, if they were playing like this in May, it'd be like, a lot of time. But now we start talking about, and even Kipnis said this, he goes, stop bringing up the wild card. But it's that second wild card has changed. Hasn't it changed in every city? You guys, it changes all of our thought process. It was like, it used to be, let's get to 500, you know, and then let's see where we're at. Now it's, you're 5 out, you're 6 out, you know, 1 good week, you're right back in it. And I think that's great for baseball, but I think it makes the general manager's job harder, and I think it makes managers' jobs a little bit harder. And I think players grind a little bit more, because now not only do you look at the top of the AL Central, now you hit that other button on MLB.com of wild card, and you're like, well, we're still in it.
Nice plug. Yeah, I like that plug.
Hey, I've worked in a lot of places. I get it.
Well, I got to tell you, when the best team in the American League is in your division and they add Johnny Cueto, maybe you start to think about wild card even more. But
absolutely.
Now, for Carrasco, you know, he's definitely not a guy I would have gone into July thinking they have to deal with this guy, but you almost do think about it a little bit. I mean, yes, he has a very team-friendly deal, but you also look at the incidence of guys with repeat Tommy Johns. You think about, he had Tommy John 4 years ago.
Remember
how long is that ligament old at? I don't know.
Remember the story from the beginning of the year, too, not to cut you off.
Oh, you're right.
But then when he signed and we started hearing about his heart situation, you got, like I said, you got to do your due diligence.
Yeah, it's not a totally crazy, out-of-this-world scenario to think that you parlay a guy whose value is at maybe at its height. Who knows? All right, let's wrap things up here, guys. The Larry Doby statue over the weekend, that was a big moment for this organization. A guy, JB, you and I have written about quite a bit. Dre, I'm sure you discussed him quite a bit. You know, of course, does not get the recognition of a Jackie Robinson, whose numbers retired across the spectrum of the game. And, you know, didn't get the recognition even at the time so much as a function of what market he played in and things of that nature. And also his own personality. He wasn't as out there as Jackie Robinson, but good to see him well represented here at this ballpark.
Yeah, I think obviously, as we talked about many times, long overdue, but you know, it's done now, and it's great to see that statue out there. To see the three statues together, it's pretty cool to walk out there and kind of see the different eras being honored from the Indians' history, and obviously Dobie represents more than just the Indians. It's a very milestone figure for baseball, and you know, broke down the barrier in the American League. And you're right. It's, I think Mr. Dolan had a good comment about, you know, the second guy who walked on the moon doesn't get a lot of the credit. You know, the people don't really remember him. And it's kind of the same thing with Larry Doby. You know, he kind of gets overlooked in the grand scheme of things, but his story is just as remarkable, and I'm really glad to see that finally happened, and to see all the people who came out, you know, from the Doby family, his former teammate, former traveling secretary. It was a great, great moment for this team, for this franchise, and for baseball.
I remember Buzz Aldrin on The Simpsons once.
He said, "Oh yeah,
second comes right after first."
That's right. Right.
But you got to interact with the Doby family, right?
Long overdue. Yeah. Let me say that first and foremost. But I thought the Indians did it right once they did it. Heck, right now as we do this, and I don't know when this will go up, Larry Doby Jr. is out shagging flies, wearing a Doby. And I'll go to that. Terry Francona, I thought, handled this so well. The one story he told about his dad being traded, actually, for Larry Doby twice.
Twice.
Oh, yeah. Twice, he said, I had to look it up because, you know, I wasn't alive when it happened. But it's true. But I thought what, and you guys know how baseball goes, and I think most people, it's very regimented. No matter what sport you're covering, it's very regimented day to day. Like, we're going to do this at this time, we're going to do this. He had his whole team dressed and ready to go and made sure they were out there. And I thought that was, and talking to his family members and the people at the Doby, they were blown away that the whole roster's out here dressed and, you know, ready to go. I thought the Indians did a great job with it. And I think, really now, when you go out to that Heritage Park and when you see Feller and you see Larry Doby, not only does it speak of what the Indians' history is, but it's a little bit of American history. You know, and what's happened in this country and what's happened in this town. Well, like I said, long overdue, but I thought it was beautiful how everything carried out and how everything was done. And for me, the whole thing with a statue, and you guys are parents, to me, when you take a kid to the Hall of Fame or whatever, you want to be able to look at a statue and say, this person was important because of this.
Right.
And it's great that Jim Thome hit 500 home runs. It was a great part of the 90s for the Indians. But I think when you look at those other two statues, you can tell your son, your daughter, their story, and your kid's going to walk away and go, wow. You know, like, that's pretty huge. And the Indians were a huge part of that. I thought the best quote from Larry Doby Jr. was that, hey, you know, this is a statue for the Doby family, but also for the city of Cleveland, for how they opened their arms to us in a time when it wasn't popular to do that.
Hey, let's not sell Larry Doby Jr. short either. Longtime roadie for Billy Joel.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know if he's still working for me, but for a long time he
was.
That's
a gig right there.
How about that? Yeah. All right, we got some pretty sweet gigs too. I want to thank Andre Knott for joining us as a special guest, and of course, Jordan Bastian. I'm Anthony Kastrovitz. This has been MLB.com Extras, Cleveland Indians edition.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go, every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.